This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number three. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's the third hour already, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
It's the power hour. What?
Did you forget something? You forgot something. It sounds like you fell and hit your head.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
You're a mess. Yeah, you have. By the way, again, busy time in the sports calendar. There's a lot going on, a lot of playoffs and stuff. They had last night. Talk about a heartbreak. We haven't talked a lot of hockey today. The Rangers felt like they were going to steal a game one on the road with a great performance by Igor Shesterkin. But a goalie from their past, Antti Raanta, kind of came back to haunt them because he played really well. It was a 1-0 game. You're getting closer and you're feeling like, just hang on. Just hang on.
2 minutes.
Yeah. And then the one goal. Goes in. The overtime goal was one of those, like, you just hate that. Like, my son's a defenseman. To see a puck just bounce off your leg and go, like, you're just, what did you do? You're doing nothing wrong. You're just in position and just stupid thing hits you and it goes in the net. And then just like that, what felt like would have been a steal one on the road kind of win turns into a loss. Heartbreaking, but still a very competitive game defensively for the Rangers, at least until that third when things kind of got out of hand.
To be that close, man, it's just
I know,
crazy.
But they could have been 2-0, though. But that kid line really is playing well for the Rangers. That's what's important. Kaapo Kakko's been great.
Oh, sorry.
Lafreniere, what?
Calgary just scored again.
Dude.
Like, yo, what the hell is this?
I told you. Didn't I tell you to watch that series? Didn't I say to you, the Battle of Alberta is, like, we haven't seen it because I remember growing up in the 80s and the early 90s, the Oilers and Flames would play each other. Now, Battle of Alberta. Alberta is a province, which is like a state.
Yeah.
But it's a province in Canada, and the two cities are Calgary, which is the big, you know, kind of cosmopolitan city. Mm-hmm. And then there's Edmonton, which is more of like a prairie kind of city. It's a city, and they've got good money there.
China.
It's not like it's a tiny little, you know, ghost town. It's a good city, but it's not as big as Calgary. They are close enough to hate each other.
Listen,
and they do. They love their hockey and it's passionate. But nobody saw a game that was at 1.6-2. And then all of a sudden it's 6-6 and then ends up being 9-6. What a crazy
you
game.
You didn't say, hey, Bart, watch the Oilers in Calgary because it's going to be like watching ABA basketball, like defense option. Like, damn.
Goaltending optional.
Will somebody sweep the leg? I mean, what the hell are we doing?
Like, literally.
You know, just keep letting this dude just embarrass you like that? I thought this was football. I thought this was the old Ravens and Steelers game.
You thought it was a three-point line in hockey now, right?
Yes. This is the big three?
I told you that series, man. That series is one to watch. Even if you're not a diehard hockey fan or somebody that really is into hockey, trust me. That's what you turn that on. You're going to be entertained. It's a great series. But then you had last night, Luka Doncic and the Mavs just did not look ready for the moment. They lost game one at Golden State. Golden State always wins games one. It's amazing. Steve Kerr's 19-1.
Right. What's amazing is what the difference Steve Kerr makes by being just on the bench.
Yeah.
Because they looked like they were lost. Anytime I went to talk to Iggy. I mean,
Mike Brown?
Yeah. Mike Brown looked like he was like, where's
the
Waldo?
The Kings are like, can you bring Iguodala with you, apparently? Because
exactly.
You might need him. But still, so the Warriors started looking like the Warriors again, especially in that second half. But defensively, that's as good as they've looked, too. They were terrific in game one. So they get a blowout win, 112-87 tonight. You get game two of the Celtics and the Heat of the Eastern Conference Finals. We have coverage on ESPN Radio beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern. The tip-off a little after 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN TV. And it looks like Marcus Smart's going to play for the Celtics. Al Horford has been upgraded from doubtful to questionable. Now, remember, he's in health and safety protocols, so he still has to clear that. No Derek White. He's got his wife's having a baby. Bart, please. We've already talked about it. What else we got going on? There's a lot of stuff happening that I wanted to get to. You have Nick Saban versus everybody happening today, and Jimbo Fisher shot back at him. It's a lot of college football stuff. The Yankees keep rolling. They're playing today. Stanton hit another home run, but the Yankees have won 9 of 10 going into this game this afternoon. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They beat the Orioles,
yeah,
which last year they didn't, and it cost them. Well, this year they are. So everybody's saying, like, well, who are they beating? Are they beating the Orioles? So what? They're doing what they're supposed
to
do.
They handled the Blue Jays.
That's right. And
so
twice they've handled the Blue Jays.
It's like, what are we talking about? I mean, listen, I wonder, and, like, when you look at Giancarlo and what he's doing, and I think everybody's like,
11 home runs now.
He's balling out. Okay, this is the guy who we thought we were getting, you know, initially. I wonder will we have that same grace that we have with Giancarlo with Lindor. Because Lindor, man, is struggling over there with the Mizzets. You know what I'm saying? He's
well,
coming
the
up
Mets,
small.
The bigger issues for the Mets is not Lindor.
Please don't
the
say
the bigger issue
don't
for the Mets
it.
Is they also play this afternoon against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Mets, we talked about Jacob DeGrom and how
nice things.
You might as well wait a little bit longer for Jacob DeGrom. And I don't know how you fracture your shoulder throwing a baseball. Nobody's ever really talked about that.
Yeah, is he not drinking?
No one has said a word about you get this injury in his body, and you're like, how the hell you do that? No, we just let it go. And now it's going to take even longer to get him back. But yesterday, concern. During yesterday's game against the Cardinals, as Max Scherzer pulled himself from the game.
Yeah.
He said they called it left side discomfort, having an MRI today. And they don't think it's – like Scherzer said after the game, he doesn't think it's major.
Yeah.
But things got tight.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, was – and you could see it on his face.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to make this worse.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though. Like, he's such a veteran. He knows his body so well. That he didn't try and push through it. Yeah, when he had a mound visit, like, all right, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to try and muscle through. Because he's confident in himself. He has nothing to prove, right? You know, they're 6 games ahead, you know, in the division. You know, I understand that they were 6 games ahead this time last year, you know, before the bottom fell out. And, you know, Mets fans have that scar tissue where we're accustomed to them getting out the fast starts and then blowing it all. So
and remember,
listen,
I mentioned DeGrom. That you probably won't see till July, if you're lucky, late July. Tyler McGill, he's the one who actually started the season opening day.
Yeah,
he went on the 15-day.
Shut me up, remember?
With some right bicep inflammation. And now you have this in Scherzer, who's 37. Remember last year, he couldn't play in the NLCS because he had a tired arm.
Yeah.
Right, that last start, he didn't make that.
So
he didn't start
disguise.
The season because of a hamstring issue. You know, I mean... So there's some serious concerns about about the Mets. And David Cone was on KJM this morning, and he discussed, you know, Scherzer taking himself out of the game when he felt that discomfort.
It's very concerning, you know, and you guys know this, and I've heard you say this, that, you know, he's so tough, and he's so known for pitching through pain that for him to take himself out of the game is really troubling when you factor all that in. But – with that being said, maybe he's matured. Maybe he knows his body so well that he got himself out early enough before there was anything major that could have happened, rather than try to pitch through something. And that's the hardest thing for any athlete, really, in any sport, is to sort of distinguish between pain and injury. You know, is this pain? Can I work through it? Or am I on the edge of injuring myself? And you just hope that Max understands the difference between those two.
And he said he said it was in spasm after the game. And,
yeah,
you know, he didn't think he tore it, but he didn't want to tear it. So the Mets have a 6-game lead in the National League East at 25-14. They're playing right now against the Cardinals in their series. But, you know, if he pushes it and it knocks him out for a long period of time, obviously a lot worse because we're still obviously only in May.
Yeah, and the cover's bare, right? So, listen, this is the long call. And the good thing, what it gives you with ownership now, this isn't the Wilpons. They have money. Like, you know, you talk about how they want to keep it powder. They want to have some powder dry so that they can go out and acquire. They can go out and they can make some acquisitions, right? And they can go out and make some acquisitions and bring in an arm. But, you know, the core is right. But for me, the bigger issue is them being able to learn how to hit, right? They need their hitters to come out and hit, man. And that's the big issue for me. You know what I mean? Sometimes we lean on DeGrom and we lean on guys like Scherzer because we know what we're going to get. We're going to get great performance. Remember his last start where he was, you know, uncannily getting hit?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe it began there and he thought he'd test it out this time. So, I'm all for shutting it down because I think we ran the marathon. You know, it's not a sprint.
When it spasms, Bart, explain, like, what that feels like.
Well, muscle spasm is like convulsions, right? Like, it'll be fine and then it's almost like cramps.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's almost like cramps when you get a Charlie horse, and like it feels like when you move, it tightens up, and that's usually like indication or signs that something else is wrong somewhere else. and that, you know, the body is not in alignment and it's not where it needs to be. So what happens is it starts to spasm. You know, you can get muscle relaxers and pitch with muscle relaxers like Scalaxin, you know, which helps ease those spasms. But ultimately, you have to find the root of the problem, right? We got to figure out what the root of the problem is for Jacob DeGrom, you know what I mean, and why his shoulder is acting the way it is, you know, because he's compensating for something somewhere else and is putting unnecessary, undue stress, you know, in other places of his body.
Yeah. It's just the concern is because it's the pitching aspect, which is supposed to be the strength of his team. Yeah. And now you're 1-2 punch. Yeah. Both guys are out. DeGrom, you don't know when you're getting him. You know, what happens with Scherzer? Like, he's 37. You always worry about this with him and how much time it might take and how effective he could be. And then not having McGill. I mean, you're really getting down, you know, you're going down the list.
But I like this, though. I like
you're off to
though.
A good start, but always worry about this stuff, man. That's why I say it's only May. When you get too fired up about a start to a baseball season, you got to remind yourself, man, this is such a long year that you know you're going to hit these valleys and how you work through them. And you also have to try to avoid major issues and major injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's what, of course, you're trying to avoid as well.
Yeah, I don't think this is major. And I think you always err on the side of caution, especially when you talk about it being May. Remember where the world champions were this time last year, losing to Acuña, blowing it. I think that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
You know,
great point.
You talk about people going down. I think you just err on the side of caution because you know that this is a marathon, not a sprint. You can always get hot. You know when this team is whole, what it's capable of doing, right? And you know mm-hmm. when you get Jacob DeGrom, you might as well pencil in, you know, that he's going to win 80% of his wins just because he's going to shut down, and they got more hitting this year than they had before. You know, they got Sterling Marte out, who he's on the, you know, the grieving, you know, I lost his grandmother. He'll come back. So, listen, this is the time for you to call up guys, and this is when you start to see how that farm system is, who you got to come up to help you steal some games, right, and to help you win some games and maybe win some series. And this would be great. Who okay. would you rather have being able to have to navigate you through this system than Buck? Got to love yeah. Buck, and especially with the story you told me earlier. I love that. That just makes me love Buck even more.
Yeah, I'll share that at the end of the show. It's actually a funny little story. All right, let's get back into some basketball talk. We'll do that with Jay Williams, going to join us here from KJM in just a few moments. But first, I want to remind you, it's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at progressivecommercial.com. All right, Jay Williams is going to join us right now. We appreciate it when he does. You can hear him every morning on KJM. And you'll see him on June 1st as Bart's going to try to lock him up. That'll be interesting. Jay, what's happening, man?
Hey, boys.
Jay Wizzle.
How you guys doing? What up, baby? What
up, B? Maintaining, man. And you all want to know something, man. Like, I feel like we've been getting a lot of arrows coming here because we've said, you know, people feel like we're discrediting the basketball ability of Jimmy Butler. But what I said is, and I compared this team, I believe, to like the Pistons team. Like Rasheed Wallace was a great player. I think him and Bam Adebayo, I don't think Bam would be offended if I said, he's kind of like in that stardom. And Jimmy Buck, as I say, is kind of like Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups was an all-star. He was a star. He wasn't a superstar. So I look at Jimmy Butler, I see a star, but I don't see a top 10 player in this league.
I see a guy who's on the fringe of top 10, which, you know, it's really funny. People want to find something to be angry at. So for me, even the fact that your name is hovering around the conversation for top 5, top 10, that is a compliment, man, for how mm-hmm. you are playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But people like to take that and turn that in the zeitgeist of social media or just hot takes world. Like, that's a negative. Like, you're sliding somebody. He's playing there's a difference for me, guys, between playing his best basketball right now and then being a top 5 player. Is he playing like a top 5 player right now? Yes. Is he a top 5 player in my opinion? I need my top 5 player to be that dominant all year long most part, right? So for me, like, I don't put him in that bucket, but that doesn't mean that Jimmy Buckets isn't doing his thing and doesn't deserve crazy praise.
So that's kind of the point I've been trying to make, Jay. It hits the thing. Like I get a tweet like this from Nolan. I can't believe the mild Jimmy Butler slander on Barton Hahn right now. Slander.
Oh, God.
Slander. Oh, slander. Here's the slander I said. The guy is one of the smartest players in the league. He is better conditioned than probably 99% of the players in this league, and he knows it. He knows how to manipulate the game. He knows how to control the game. He knows how to find his matchup. He will work harder than you. When he flips the switch, it's unlike anything you'll see in this league. He can change the game at both ends, and he did that in the third quarter. But I also say this. Who did he play in the first two rounds? Who did
Atlanta
he play?
And Philadelphia.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who did he play? So, but, and we saw him. We saw him take the Heat to the finals. We saw that too. But let's not get hysterical. And by the way, in game one, what did he do? He attacked Peyton Pritchard, and he was smart to do that. But that's what he did. I can't say that I would make him, like, I would put him on a top five list ahead of Steph Curry. I can't do that. It's Steph freaking Curry.
No.
Like, how could you possibly say that? And I had Vince Carter saying that on your show this morning. I couldn't believe that. So
I feel like that's
not slander when you're saying that a guy is not box office, so you're not a superstar. Are you a star? Yes. We don't underrate Jimmy Butler. We rate him. He's literally right where he is. We all respect what he can do. We appreciate what he can do. But we're not going to now suddenly put him on a pedestal that he doesn't belong on.
Look, if he wins a championship, man, more power to him. Like,
yeah, great.
You know, I think one of the things that's interesting about it, though, is that, you know, people start throwing out absolutes. Like, why wouldn't you want to build a culture around this? And this is winning. And I guess I know too much, though.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I've talked to people throughout the course of the year where they weren't sure that Jimmy Butler was the guy that the Miami Heat needed on their team. Like, and that's sometimes the difference between, you know, how narratives are built, right? Because there are a lot of people that feel, and these are very close people to the situation, they're like, he was on his way out of Miami.
Wow.
Right? But the fact that that's turned into the championship culture, like, that's how thin of a margin that sometimes, like, when have you ever seen Eric Spoelstra black out like that? Ever? Call somebody crazy. Like, when have you ever seen Espo act that way? So sometimes that can be good for an organization, or sometimes it's the drama that, you know, you deal with when he's able to get you to this point. But, man, this is how narratives are written sometimes, Alan. You know, nobody cares about who you beat and how you get there. All they care about is that you get a chip. You know, people aren't going back in the history of time like, well, this guy, it's like, nope, he won a chip. Nobody says who Charles Barkley ran into. Doesn't matter.
Well,
gotta win a chip.
It's like this. It's like, well, you know, Kevin Durant won two championships. Yeah, but he did it with the Warriors team. He had to join a championship team to do it. Okay, fine. Like, Steph Curry's never won a finals MVP, so, you know, he didn't really win those championships. And then the other two, he won with Kevin. Like, come on, man. Like, so take Steph Curry off all those teams. Are they as good? No. No, they're not. Like, I don't like when we do that. So now let me lead you into this. I covered the game last night, and I watched it, thinking to myself, there's two things this could be. So Luka Doncic has had a marvelous playoff run here, right? And there's so many parallels to LeBron in his fourth year between the two of them. It's amazing the parallels when you look at all the accomplishments. Obviously not the same player, but the impact that they're having at such a young age is. This could be the 2007 LeBron for him, or this could be last year Trae Young and the Hawks for him. Which one is it?
I mean, look, I think that the Warriors' defense is good. Do I think it's that great? No. Do I think that Dallas, who took 48 threes last night and only made 11, and that's a different game when they're not missing wide open looks in the first half? Yes. Do I think Wiggins is a heck of a defender due to his size, his length, and his lateral speed and quickness? Yes. Do I think he had a lot to do with Luka missing shots that Luka typically makes? No. Honestly, like, I think the turnaround time, like, people don't recognize this, but, like, when they played game seven on Sunday, there was no go back to Dallas and rest. They turned around and went straight to the next location to get ready for a game. Like, and that was an emotional game seven. I could take a lot out of a team. So I still think this is going to be a series. But I still would favor Golden State just for the firepower that they have. But don't be remiss that Luka and almost in a way that this is not to sound disrespectful, but it's almost like the Dallas Mavericks are a souped up college team, right? And you got guys like Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie, who's talented as hell. I'm not saying he's a college player at all. Same with Jalen Brunson, but like, there's so many, like, Luka has to have 10 to 12 assists for them to be in these type of games.
Yes.
And that just comes with them making shots.
He had
so
more
they don't make shots, they get smacked.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't make shots, they get smacked. That's how it's going to be.
Now, when I look at this series, right, I look at, you know, a team that's been together for a long time that understands the concepts and also the philosophies behind it, right? Everybody understands when Luka has the ball, where the double's coming from. And right now with Dallas, they're learning each other, right? So for me, you know, I remember playing against, you know, teams that had like Michael Vick on it or teams that had Tom Brady on it. It was more about going out and playing and executing. But when you went against Peyton Manning, it was like it was mentally just exhausting because trying to keep up. Do you think that this, you know, that Luka and Jason Kidd and this team can make the necessary adjustments to be able to handle the changing defenses and philosophies that Steve Kerr seems to throw at him? Do you think he has time to figure it out?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, he's a cerebral kid. He's been cerebral since the time he's been a youngster. Doesn't really matter if you throw a box in one, a zone. By the way, I can make the counter argument, Bark, that I would love when I saw the defenses change, right? Because you're also not used to playing those style of defenses. You know what I mean? It's not like Golden State Warriors have a lot of practice at doing box and one.
Mm, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't really think the offensive side of the ball is something I worry about. Look at me sound like a football analyst here, the offensive side of the ball. I don't really think the offensive aspect is something you worry about. But, like, defensively for me, like, one of the things I didn't see Jason Kidd do for Dallas tactically is they let Stephen Curry off the hook. Like, Stephen Curry was guarding Dorian Finney-Smith. They didn't really move him around. So a lot of their offense is predicated off of people watching and then moving once Luka comes off some kind of ball screen action, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas you can't say the same vice versa because Luka is engaged in all the action because of the continuity that they run offensively for Golden State. So you're constantly keeping him engaged where sometimes, you know, possessions prior, like when you play against, you know, Phoenix or a team like that, like you're moving around a lot. Like the same offense, they mirror each other with CP3 and the way they run pick and rolls compared to Luka. So now that takes away some of his legs offensively. There is a cumulative effect with how he guards. And look, I'll say this, and it's a lot of games I've seen. I know we're saying Luka might be a top five player as it relates to offense. He might be a bottom five player as it relates to defense. You're willing to like take on that because he's so gifted offensively.
Yeah.
But there, when you know Allen, when a dude turns the ball over and you don't see his ass run back in the frame of the TV frame,
nope.
Right? You're like, how many times can that happen where you're like, yo, wow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the body language, that's to me that if you, you know, if there's something to correct for Luka, it's the body language. Absolutely.
Great.
Like you might not be able to move well to be a great defensive player, but you still like Jason Kidd is the perfect coach for him to teach him that. Because Jay Kidd just knew where to be on the nail, like just be in the right position. So at least as a help defender, as a space defender, you're where you're supposed to be. And that's how you can be a good defender.
Have you heard the 2 second rule? Have you heard? So Cassidy Hubbard talked about this on her show. She said Jason Kidd has preached to Luka about holding his position for 2 seconds. Like that's their goal.
Yep.
Like literally holding his position and his man for 2 seconds to allow the defense to get into an angle space to recover and to help.
Mm.
So, like, that's something to pay attention to in this series, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is the defensive discipline of Luka? Because we all know what he does offensively,
right.
But watch how they attack him defensively.
And that's exactly what I think Wiggins did that a lot. Make sure, just keep him working.
Man, I know
no
we got to go, but Jay,
yeah, we do.
I want to ask you about you know, the childbirth of White missing
the
game.
No, no, you can't
childbirth.
Do this now. Wait,
the what?
You know how late we are? You're going to ask him this question now.
Because they can induce the labor, man. I think he's being selfish. He should have had the baby yesterday.
This is Jay.
I didn't even hear what you said. All I hear is childbirth.
Tell him, Alan.
Bart is mad that Derek White left the team. He's not going to play tonight to go back to Boston to be with his wife to have the birth of their first child. He thinks that she can wait.
No, yesterday was an off day. They
should have induced
yesterday.
It. That's what it is.
They could have induced. Yeah, they could have induced. But.
Thank you, Jay Weezy. And listen, at the end of the
first,
day,
though, Bart.
But Jay
Bart,
Weezy,
he gonna
get
you
there. She's gonna be in labor for 22 hours. They gonna
careful.
Be at they gonna be at the shoot around before he even had a damn baby. You know how long babies take.
If it was his first kid, I get it, man. I mean, look, I'm gonna be there for all my kids' birth. So I'm the wrong person. I'll say family over everything first.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Jay Weezy, but I'm just saying he could have had his baby yesterday.
We
could have been first.
Jay.
Yeah, you could have induced it. Yeah, that's fair.
Jay, get those shots up,
Bart.
My man.
Only you, Bart.
Get those
Only
shots
you.
Up. I hope your back is strong, Kerry Key.
Don't you be coming across my face with no Wolverine calls.
No, It is not going to be no Wiggins.
All right, Jay, we love you, man.
I file all my fingernails.
We got to run.
All right, baby.
All right, you want to weigh in on Jimmy Butler in the playoffs? We got you coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
That's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. We go to Dave in Jersey. What's up, Dave?
We got a delay. What's up, Dave? We're going to give you an extra second because we understand we have a delay or something. Mm. Or you got a singular? Is T-Mobile?
Dave, is Dave not there?
Hey, Bart.
There he is.
What up, son?
Jimmy Butler, man, Jimmy Butler can play ball.
Yeah, he can play ball.
And you're talking about 13, he only took 19 shots. What, he's 13 for 19? But don't try to rate. Jay Williams needs to take a seat. Stop trying to act like Stephen A., who is basically a Wendy Williams of sports.
Wow. How you going to slander our dogs,
he's a Wendy
man.
Williams. But Jimmy Butler can ball.
Yes, he can ball. Just like I said, Chauncey Bill.
He said he couldn't.
He can play. I'm telling you.
But he's not a superstar.
I'm saying it with enthusiasm, Bart, and I'm not really prepped on what I want to say, but Jimmy Butler can play some basketball.
But can I ask you this?
He's a pleasure to watch.
Can I ask you this? I compared him to one of my favorite people of all time, Big Shot Billups, right? Chauncey Billups was a star. He wasn't a superstar. You got Dame Lillard out there. You got Kyrie. You got KD. You got Joel Embiid. You got Jokic. You got LeBron James. Like, it's you got Luka Doncic. You got Giannis. You got so many guys that are superstars. It's okay to be a star. Hey, Bart, everybody don't have to be Michael Jackson.
But you know what makes some of those players you call superstars?
What?
Is that Nike brand? Is endorsements that make
the What about the championships and the MVPs? What about the championships and MVPs?
Jimmy,
is he better than Kawhi Leonard? Is he better than Kawhi Leonard? He's better than Kawhi.
Thank you, Dave. I mean, come on, man.
I understand that.
It's not about because the brand. That's why they're starting. Man, come on. Like, look, I'm gonna say this. Let's play this game. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, let the callers be involved in this. You can get us at Bart and Hunt as well. I'll give you $1,000. You can watch any player play you want. Any player in the league. You can go to any game you want. I'm gonna send you to that game. You can sit down and watch this player play out of the entire NBA. Everybody's healthy, too. You can't be like, well, what if he's hurt? No. I guarantee he's going to play, and you get to watch him play courtside. Yep. How many of you going, well, I'm going to see Jimmy Butler play? How many of you saying that versus how many other like how many deep do you go? Like,
you even add Zion into that.
So I'm telling you, everybody,
Ja Morant,
everybody. If I gave you, I'm getting you a courtside seat in their home arena to watch him play. How many of you are going, I can watch any player I want to play, any player in the league? Oh yeah, Jimmy Butler's that guy. And it's not a knock. It's a
star.
Slander.
Like,
it's just reality. Box office. What makes you a superstar? Stars are stars, but the superstar is a different thing. It goes beyond how good you are at
this
the game.
This is the crazy part. One of my favorite player of all time, Isaiah Thomas. People say he's the most underrated guy there. They wouldn't call him a superstar. They much rather probably go see Dominique Wilkins.
Well,
they much
Isaiah,
rather back in the day go see Michael Jordan. He was
Isaiah
a superstar. He
was
a superstar.
Watch,
I know he's a superstar. Arguing to me, but what I'm trying to say is, like, that I'm trying to say that. That pains me to say that. Like, he was.
But I'm just, like, I think it's the best way to explain what I'm trying to say, because maybe I'm not doing it right. I'm not saying
superstar.
He's not good. We all know he's good.
He's a star.
Can he win a championship? I'm actually of the belief that he could.
Of course.
With that mind. They could. But if you're telling me that he's a superstar, that we're not giving him his due, now I'm saying you're full of crap. We're giving him the exact due he deserves. And my way of proving it is this simple formula. If I could tell you that you can go to any game you want and sit courtside and see any player you want to play, you want to see in the NBA today, are you really saying, I'll go see Jimmy Butler play over anybody else? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will continue with your calls. I'm curious to see what people say about this. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The Mets have just announced news that if you're a Mets fan, you do not want to hear this.
Why can't we have good things?
What's the matter?
Why can't we have good things?
Well, it's just reality, man. So the Mets have given us the update on Max Scherzer. It is not good. Images that they took on that side, that he took himself out of the game, said he had some tightness there, spasms. Showed a moderate to high-grade internal oblique strain. The general timeline for an injury of this nature, 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm.
Yeah, that's so 2 months just to recover. And then, of course, it's the build back up procedure, all that stuff. So the Mets are now without Jacob DeGrom till at least, right, late July, if not early August. And they're also then without Max Scherzer. So they're number one and number two pitchers out for the next 2 months. They already have Tyler McGill out for what's at least 2 weeks, hoping to get him back. They have Chris Bassitt, Carlos Carrasco, and Taijuan Walker right now as in their rotation. Bart, can I tell you what's coming on the schedule for a Mets team that is six games up right now in the National League, National League East? They're tied right now with the Cardinals in the fourth inning of a game, afternoon game, to finish out their three-game series or four-game series with the Cardinals. After this game, they go to Colorado and play the Rockies. Then they go to San Francisco and play a Giants team that is mashing. I mean, they score a ton of runs. They come back to play the Phillies and the Nationals, and then the schedule just continues to get tougher. Then you start June going back out west, and you play the Dodgers, of the best record in the National League. Then you play the Padres, who are also one of the highest scoring teams in the league. Then you play the Angels, who are the highest scoring team. I mean, that team is putting up runs. Then you play the Brewers, who are in first place. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know who else comes after you play three games against the Marlins? The Astros.
You had me at Dodgers, man. Dude. You had me at Dodgers. You're just going to keep going?
Keeps going, man.
You're just going to keep pouring
salt. They play
the
Astros four times. They play the Astros twice. Four games with the Astros to finish out the month of June. I haven't even gotten to July, and you still don't have these guys back yet, Bart. That's big news. Mets got off to a terrific start. A lot of good feelings. But this is rough, losing him now. 8 weeks.
They got to make a move, man.
Oblique strain.
They got to make a move.
Max Scherzer. They have to make a move.
Yeah, they got to make a move.
So easy to find starting pitching, compelling starting pitching at this point.
What is it going to cost you?
It's going to cost a lot. But the Mets offense better be able to keep up because you're playing a lot of big offenses coming up. And we are coming back in 10 seconds. All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight, Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Heat host the Celtics is presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And with that, Al Horford now has been upgraded again, listed as available for tonight's game. So he clearly has passed the health and safety protocols. He said he was feeling fine.
What's the next thing after that?
What?
Like he's available. What's the next word after that?
He's playing.
Likely.
No.
Maybe.
He's playing.
Probably.
No, probably was previous.
What up, though? I think I like so many.
I think that's what Jalen Rose was often listed as. What up, though?
Yeah. What up, though? You playing? Right. Man, what up, though? I got you.
What up, though? I got you. I think you need to list Max Scherzer as what up, though.
Oh man.
That's painful.
No, Matt Scherzer ain't going to be able to do it. Damn! Mets can't have good things for nothing!
And Jacob DeGrom is listed as hell no.
Yeah. Jacob DeGrom, what's your availability? I holla. Damn! we got to, I ain't going to be able to do it.
Schedule, what you got coming up?
Man.
You're playing. I mean, the next month and a half.
Man, where's Sonny Gray at? Maybe the second round and maybe the second time around in New York will be different. Damn.
I'm sorry.
Who can they get, man? Like, who's a team? Who's a team that's struggling? That's ready to sell off? But we know
the Reds.
Yeah,
the Reds.
Let's go holler at the Reds.
Horrific.
Let's go to the Reds.
That's what you want to do. Get a pitcher off of a really bad baseball team.
Yeah, and get them cash considerations. You know what I mean? You know how that is.
That's one thing that your owner has is plenty of cash considerations. But I'm telling you, man, it's a huge concern. Let's mark this date.
Yo, two aces, man.
And we come back. Let's come back July 1st. No. Let's not even wait until these guys come back. July 1st. Mets, right now, the Mets are six games up in the division. Where are they July 1st? Let's mark it. And July 1st, when we do our show, let's discuss. Right?
Can I get Castillo? Can we get Castillo?
Castillo?
Castillo. You know, I don't know how to say American, Spanish.
The Consigliere?
Yeah. No.
Consigliere? Luis.
They're
going to need a Consigliere.
No, let's get Luis.
Luis Castillo.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Sort of.
Yeah,
Al Horford being available tonight, Marcus Smart available tonight for the Celtics. That's very big for Boston as they try to even the series. Bart said after game one, he didn't care what he saw in that game. He still thinks the Heat are in trouble because of the length, the defense, everything that the Celtics have. But you know what? How about this? And I know Jay kind of mentioned it a little bit. How about the fact that the two teams that played game sevens look tired in the second half of their game ones in the next series,
that's
right?
That's fair enough.
Because both teams played Sunday.
Well, Jay Weezy told you what happens. When you win the game seven, you don't go home. You just go to the next.
Well, they did. They didn't have time. They went right to, the Mavericks went from Phoenix right to San Francisco and got ready for the next series. And obviously Boston did the same thing. You know, they had to go right to Miami, which I know nobody complained about, but that's what they had to do. You know, do you remember when we were talking about the first round? I was like, remember the Nets and the Celtics played and we're like game one, then 4 days. 4 days later, game two. 3 days later, game three.
And sped it up.
Like, did we have to have the first round spread out so much that a game seven and a game one were like 2 days apart?
Yeah. And now they're making everything so fast. They could spread it out.
Like, I just didn't get why that series had to be spread out, and now all of a sudden it's like we play a game seven on a Sunday. No, we gotta start game one on Tuesday. Like, we're starting game one on Tuesday. Like, why?
Exactly. Yeah,
all right, just got to seven, so let's just push it up a couple of days and give everybody a chance to take a breath.
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. So keep it on those days. You know what I mean?
Just give at least a
when you travel, when you travel, you get 2 days.
Yeah. I don't know why the NBA does that. It doesn't make sense. I mean, this is the league of everybody wants to rest and load management, and yet we're going to, early on, we're going to give you days and days and days off. And then later on, when you're beaten and tired, no, you got to play right away. Suck it up. Ridiculous. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's see. Parker's in Jersey. Parker, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? You can hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, so I'm a Celtics fan, and I got a couple things to say. So Derek White should be allowed to have his kid, one. Two, Jimmy Butler is a great player, but are we really going to freak out about the fact that the defensive player of the year and Al Horford, who has been a phenomenal in the playoffs, were out game one? Who cares about game one? We'll see what happens tonight. Jimmy Butler is not a top 10 player. He's a great playoff guy, but really the Celtics, I think they're just too much for the Heat to handle.
So White couldn't have his baby yesterday?
White's got to have his baby. Come on, man. It's his first kid.
You know what I'm saying? Like Parker, I don't know what
Parker, do you have any kids,
about.
Parker?
25, I don't got no kids, but come on, let the guy have his kid.
Parker, what I'm saying is he could have had his kid yesterday. You can induce labor.
I can't understand why you're making this a thing.
I get it, but it's not like he's like Jason Tatum. He's not the superstar.
Oh,
man.
So he don't count. Okay, if it was Jason Tatum, you would have been pissed off.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So is that he's a scrub? He's like, man, go. We don't need you anyway. Bye.
He got you. Oh, man. Parker, I appreciate the call, man. You just won't let this go.
Because it's not that hard. If she was that close to having a baby, unless it's a medical issue, then inducing ain't going to change. What's the difference if you had a baby one day earlier than the next? Well, one day you don't have to play a basketball game. And then they send the kid home now after 2 days now. It used to be when I was back in the day, my first kid, kid get to stay in for about 4 or 5 days. Now, you know what I'm saying, 48 hours? After 48 hours, they kicking your ass out. Bye.
Yeah, you're making a thing of this. It's game two. It's fine. It's not like it's.
What do you mean it's game two? It's fine. You can go down 0-2. You're trying to steal home court.
Mavericks were down 0-2 in that series with the Suns. How'd that work out?
Yeah, okay. I'm just
By
saying,
the way,
I'm
Renee, who's off today from the show, is listening, which that's why he's a great teammate. He did text into the group chat, this is what happens when I'm not there. Bart loses all his Spanish.
Yeah, that's what's up. He's my Rosetta Stone.
You couldn't even say Castillo.
He my Rosetta Stone. I can't read English. How the hell am I going to read Hispanic? I mean,
he taught you Macarena, Macarena, right?
Yeah, Macarena.
Can you roll your R's now for him?
He ain't on air.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.